Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
She's warning that people shouldn't be complacent. President Trump visited two swing states yesterday. He's in a third today. I get you don't like what he's saying, but if the Biden campaign's so worried about complacency, where was Joe Biden yesterday? He had a whole day without any public events with less than 3 weeks to go.
Jake Tapper, ooh, from the top row, pretty shocking there to hear some criticism on the vice president, the former vice president, who not only is he taking a day off, this dude's not going to be on the campaign trail until Thursday. Thursday! Good grief! Like, imagine if you were in charge of the globe, you know, the world power that is the American president. It's not the way it's supposed to be. And if you want an American president who's much more interested in our affairs being here in the United States, then you probably got to vote for Donald Trump, because he's the one who keeps bringing our troops home and focusing on our country. Joe Biden is not going to be on the campaign trail until Thursday, which is going to be at the debate. I just heard a report on Fox News just a bit earlier, and I didn't get to hear what the payoff was, but a suggestion that maybe the president might take a different approach to this next debate. I'm like, God, I hope so. God, I hope so. Like, you think Joe Biden's trying to get in fighting shape for the next 4 days? Like, he's got his boxing gloves on, and he's like, pow, pow. Like, what is he doing? What does he need to do for 4 days at home? Or, folks, let me ask you this. If the president is out in public, he's going to be followed by his press pool. If he's being followed by his press pool, then the chances of him getting asked a question are a little bit higher, right? Getting asked a question about his son. When you are somebody who is out on the campaign trail all the time, both candidates have a gaggle of reporters that follow them around. And the vice president got asked as he was boarding the plane. Katie, I don't know. I didn't send this to you, so I don't know if we have this. Correct me if I'm wrong. But he was asked by a CBS reporter about it. And he's like, it's just a smear campaign. And I knew you'd be the one to ask me that. He like bullied him back. And I'm like, folks, if you don't like it when Trump does this, you better not like it when Joe Biden does this.
We have it.
Which one is it?
Cut number eight.
Eight. Let me go. Okay, I'm going to play this because this is so... This is such a diversion here. Listen.
What's the New York Post story about your son, sir?
I know you'd ask it. I have no response. It's another smear campaign. Right up your alley. They're the questions you always ask.
I knew you'd ask it. It's another smear campaign. Those are the kind of questions you always ask. That's crazy. It's crazy that this is verified. Now, the Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe, came out today and confirmed that there is absolutely not a thread of evidence to suggest that this is any sort of Russian disinformation campaign, that there is not a single tie to Russia in any of this. And also a few things to verify the veracity of this laptop, the emails. First of all, Hunter Biden's lawyer went and asked for his client's laptop back. First and foremost, you don't go ask for your laptop back when it ain't your laptop. And come on, that's amateur to be doing something like that. To go and be like, can we have that laptop? It's not our laptop, but we would like to have our laptop back. Well, I don't know about that one. So you've got the lawyer requesting the laptop back. You have people who are involved in these email chains saying, yeah, these are absolutely true. Over the weekend, Peter Schweitzer, who authored the book Clinton Cash, and also Something Empires. What was it? I'll come up with it in a little bit. Another book, maybe Broken Empires or something. I don't know. Maybe we can Google that. In 2018, he authored this book, and this guy named Cooney is in jail right now for fraud. And he's in jail for fraud because of something that he was involved in, along with Hunter Biden and Devin Archer. But for some reason, those guys got off the hook and he ended up going to jail. Well, he ends up reading this Schweitzer book that's talking about some of the things that you get a little more of a taste of in some of these emails that have come out here. And so this guy, whose last name is Cooney, reaches out to Peter Schweitzer and says, I have something you might like. And Schweitzer says, well, what is that? He goes, here's my Gmail account, here's my password, here's written consent so that you can go through and read these emails and you can see for yourself some corroboration in what you've already discussed. You can see for yourself, from my end of it, what is true. Now, Peter Schweitzer has a treasure trove of emails, Secret Empires. Thank you, Katie, for that. So folks, when you're hearing about that story, that is completely and totally separate from the MacBook or the laptop that was left at a repair store that this guy turned into. His last name's Paul. This guy, Paul, turned this laptop in a year ago or more to the FBI. You know what he didn't do? He didn't sell it. You know what he didn't do? He didn't take it to some reporter to get some exclusive. You know what he didn't do? He didn't make a big deal of it himself. He went to the FBI, the federal authorities, so that they could look into this and see what was going on and do something about it. Because when this dude saw what was on this laptop, the likes of which we don't know, we have not seen, there are a lot of things floating out there, folks. And I know some of you are sending me suggestions of what is on this laptop until it's verified by somebody that isn't a fringe conspiracy theorist organization. I'm not going to report those things because I want to make sure I get this right. I want to make sure that here on this show, we report to you things that we know to be true. Although there are things that have come up of it that we have seen that we do know now are verified. This laptop situation and this entirely separate scenario that involves the author Peter Schweitzer, those are two entirely different events. They're happening at the same time. It's a really, really big deal. So when Joe Biden says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do some debate prep until Thursday, so I can be ready to debate Donald Trump again. Folks, I think this has a whole heck of a lot less to do with him preparing for a debate than it does shielding him from reporters, which I don't really understand. Like, how scary can these reporters actually be?
Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get?
You got 1 vanilla, 1 chocolate, but I wanted to get a what we call black and white, but we're going to move it.
What kind of ice cream did you get, Mr. Biden? The people want to know. They need to know right now. It's chocolate and vanilla. That just seems so boring and old.
At least the question was super intense. Mr. Biden! What about that ice cream in your hand?
It seems as though you sold your soul to China and Ukraine. Any other countries we should know about, but what about that ice cream?
Is that Dole Whip, sir?
Nice one. Appreciated. If you know, you know, people. If you know, you know. I mean, Joe Biden is not under threat of being exposed by the media. Oh my gosh, he's their biggest asset. Unless, right now, they're a little concerned. Unless, you know, here's the other thing about the veracity of these emails and this situation regarding the laptop. Hunter's lawyer asked for Hunter's laptop back. That's a big tip off for me. I don't really need to know a whole lot more. But if you do, what about the fact that this has been out there and there has not been a single denial? Not a single denial. Nobody has come out and been like, this is absolutely false. It's completely false. And I can prove that it's false because of X, Y, and Z. And it's just an October surprise contrived by the Trump administration because they're trying to drown me, blah, blah, blah. They haven't. You know what they do? They fight back in a way that suggests that the question should not even be asked. And I can kind of understand, you know, I kind of get it. When you're living in this day and age with this media and the massive division that exists between these two parties, I can kind of see why Joe Biden would be like, where the heck do you get off asking me a question like that? Who do you think you are? Don't you know who I am? And don't you know how this works? But what kind of ice cream did you have, sir? Give me a break. This is a really big deal, folks. The thing you need to understand is it has never been more important for you. If you want to make sure that we continue to get to the bottom of this, the president still, if he doesn't win re-election, he still has until January 20-something in order for him to wrap this up with a bow. But if the president doesn't get re-elected, it's going to stop then. You need to talk to somebody in your life who may be disgusted by the state of affairs, but needs to understand what's at stake here. And you need to do it with, like I've said before, you need to do it with love for that person, not with some sort of, all right, sit down. Are you ready for your education? Here's a pen and here's a paper. Take some notes. That's never going to go well. And you're not going to convince that person who wants to sit down and tell you exactly why you need to vote against Donald Trump. That's not going to help either. It's the people who don't want to dip their toe into this cesspool of information because it is so incredibly unattractive and so incredibly hateful that for them to invest their time in it seems like, why would I waste my time, my energy, and my anxiety in getting into this? The stakes are high. You could be the key to getting somebody who's not going to vote or who can't stomach a vote for either of these candidates to understand what's at stake here. You might be the first person to ever be so bold to say, you know what, this president isn't racist. And they're going to go, excuse me, what? What do you mean this president isn't racist? He's never denied white supremacy before. He's been asked a bunch of times and I don't understand why he's never come out and say it. Why is it so hard to not say that this president is, why is it so hard for him to say, I denounce white supremacy? Why won't he say it? Well, he said it this time. He said it that time. He said it this time. He said it that. He said it dozens and dozens and dozens of time. And he said it consistently since 2015 when he was running for office. And he has the proof. He has the record to show things that he has done in an effort to try to reach out to Black Americans, to Latino Americans, to people who are here who are immigrants, yes, immigrants, to give them an opportunity to have the leg up, the opportunity that comes with being an American. Joe Biden is not American opportunity. Joe Biden wants to take American opportunity away and replace it with American provision, which means you elect this guy who's going to be big government, who's going to go in and make sure that everything is equitable. That's what he wants to do. The problem is that nowhere does anybody say that if everything were equitable in this country, that it would be good for anybody. Having the opportunity to succeed is what you have in this country in a way that it doesn't exist anywhere else. And preserving that is the most important thing to the American future that we want to have for our kids. You don't even know what Joe Biden's policies are on a bunch of things because they aren't his policies. Because they don't come from him. And he's not willing to come out and campaign. We are 15 days from the election, folks. 4 days away from a debate. And he's at home. Taking care of Joe Biden. Not willing. You want to look at Donald Trump? This man is willing to answer a question from anybody, anywhere, at any time. He's unafraid because he stands by what he believes in. Yeah, sometimes it's a little rough around the edges. Yeah, sometimes it's a bitter pill to swallow, but you know what you're voting for. You know exactly what you're going to get. And if you look at what he's done, if you look at what he's accomplished, I saw a tweet today from the White House administration citing that source so that you know where I got it from. I believe it was Kayleigh McEnany that said that American incomes are going to go down an average of $6,500 a year with a Biden administration, because he's going to raise taxes on you. He's going to raise taxes on the people who employ you. And he's proud to do it. It's such an easy decision to make in November. It's so simple to understand the stark contrast. They have no similarities. There's no way, no place where they cross over one another. The thing we have to remember is that we have to show up and vote. And every time I hear someone say, make a plan to vote, I'm always like, I don't want to vote for Joe Biden. They don't talk about Joe Biden, but I feel as though they're saying, make a plan to vote for Joe Biden. No, it's just make a plan to vote. I know what you mean. Well, I'm telling you to make a plan to vote, and I'm not voting for Joe Biden. I don't know who you're voting for. I got to be honest, I haven't paid a lot of attention to the Libertarian candidate. I'm going to tell you this. I have paid zero attention to the Libertarian candidate. And Tony Colombo, our resident Libertarian extraordinaire, texted me a video that he said I should watch. And I said, Joe Jorgensen is a woman?
JoJo.
I don't know if Tony's going to come on the show anymore. I think I just grossly disappointed him with that comment. Still a pandemic. Still talking to Dr. Hardman each week on Mondays. He's going to be here when we come back. Man, a lot of COVID questions to ask him. We'll have them for him when we come back, and we're going to ask your questions as well. So come onto the Facebook page, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. Watch the live with us, chat with us, ask your questions of the good doctor, and also the Annie Fry YouTube page. You can ask your questions in the chat there as well. We'll be back in a minute.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for being with us. We are going to have the House Minority Leader Jim Durkin on here with us in just a second. Very excited to talk to him about something that is going. Okay, so the campaign, as we move close to Election Day here in Illinois, man, it has gotten some sort of nasty. Ryan, have you had any interactions or anything with anybody? Have they been pushing hard on getting your vote, your mailbox? Have you seen a lot of state rep action?
Man. Yeah, in the mail, on my phone, and in person. I've had people come to my door, so it's getting pretty intense. We're real close.
So what are the issues that you see in front of you the most? Like what, first of all, what everyone always tells me is, I was speaking with some good friends this weekend, everything they get in their mailbox seems to be pro-Dem, anti-Republican.
Yeah, most of what I'm seeing is in favor of the fair tax. That's the most mail that I'm getting.
And I've seen so much stuff from people, and it's just, you know, like all you got to do is pull the flyer out of the mailbox and you just look at it and you're like, whose pictures are in black and white? And
yes.
Who is walking through a prairie field with a child and a firefighter or something like that? It's
right,
like, what's
right.
The, you don't even have to read what's on it to be able to tell. And it just seems as though there's a huge emphasis on in my mailbox, probably in yours, of pro-Democrat, anti-Republican stuff. So I wanted to take this opportunity here to talk with Leader Durkin, the House Minority Leader, Representative Jim Durkin, joining us now. Representative, thank you so much for coming on and squeezing us in here. It's great.
Glad to do it, Annie. How are you?
Doing okay. Now, I got to ask you a question. I feel very accomplished here on the Annie Fry Show because for the very first time in my life, my show, the Annie Fry Show, was cited in some attack mail. And I started getting these text messages from a bunch of people saying that here in our district, the state Democrats, which from what I understand is Mike Madigan, was trying to talk about how Lisa Schiampoli was against education funding and how Katie Stewart has done such a fantastic job here in defending, you know, education funding. And then we get this next message here, which really blew my mind. An ad that came across my Facebook page here, and it talks about how Katie Stewart is fed up with the political gridlock in Springfield hurting our families. And I said, how can you have political gridlock while Katie Stewart is a Democrat? She's got a supermajority every way you turn. What kind of political gridlock are we talking about here?
Well, that's interesting. You raise a good point. There's the political gridlock is, I'm not sure where it's coming from, but all I know is that Katie Stewart has taken $1.3 million from Mike Madigan this cycle, and she has voted for him as Speaker, but she wants to return to Springfield to fix and to clean up the corruption. But public official A is Mike Madigan. He is mentioned 72 times in the deferred prosecution agreement. That is the criminal case that the U.S. Attorney's Office filed against Commonwealth Edison, where Commonwealth Edison, over a nine-year period, admitted to bribing Mike Madigan to the tune of $1.3 million, which is exactly the money that she's received from, coincides with the money that she's received from Mike Madigan. But the fact is, the truth never got in the way of the BS that the Democrats spew down there day in and day out. It's mind-blowing when I hear that Bristow and Stewart are both going to clean up Springfield and they're going to root out corruption. But Stewart's right now at $1.6 million received from Mike Madigan. Stewart's at $1.3 million.
They are
two of the most disingenuous elected officials in the state of Illinois. And for them to actually look themselves in the face and say that they're going to clean up corruption, but they haven't made a decision on Mike Madigan, may be the biggest whopper that I've heard in my lifetime.
We're speaking with House Minority Leader Jim Durkin, and, I want to ask you a bit about Lisa Schiampoli, who's challenging Democrat Madigan minion Katie Stewart in the 112th, and same goes for Monica Bristow in the 111th. We have Amy Ellick and Lisa Schiampoli, two fantastic candidates. I have been working hard down here to get the word out about them.
Oh, I noticed it. I saw a commercial in which they quote you excessively. You're cited as the... as a reliable source on all those ridiculous negative attack acts against Lisa Schiampoli.
So you've arrived,
Annie. You've arrived.
Well, yeah, I'm the one who's been walking around trying to get signatures to get a challenger on the ballot for Katie Stewart. What do you think about Lisa Schiampoli and Amy Ellick, two Republicans challenging Democrats here? Katie Stewart says she wants to end political gridlock. I'd like to see some political gridlock in Springfield, quite honestly.
Well, here's what she can do. She can stand in front of everyone in her district and say that she will get rid of gridlock, her and Bristow, when they will say that I will not vote for Mike Madigan as Speaker in January if I'm elected. That's how you do it. But neither one of them are not going to do it because both of them are tied at the hip with Mike Madigan. So, look, if people like the work that Mike Madigan is doing for the people of the state of Illinois, then they should vote for Representative Stewart and Representative Bristow, and have them reelected. That's my message to them. But here's what I think about Amy Ellick and Lisa Schiampoli. I like them so much, and I'm coming back down to the Metro East this week to campaign for them and to talk about the truth and to dispel the nonsense that has been spewed. But they're obviously concerned about their races. That is an area that is turning Republican, has been turning very Republican very quickly, but one that is it's a border. Those are border districts, and we're losing businesses, we're losing families and businesses to Missouri on a daily basis. Both of them voted for the constitutional amendment. That is the worst. That is the single worst ballot initiative that has come that has been placed in Illinois on the, in ballot history. Both of them voted to put it on the fair tax on the ballot. Neither one of them can back that up. It is the worst thing for our small businesses, our farmers. But let me just add one thing. I just did a press conference up here. Governor Pritzker, who is the one who said that millionaires and billionaires need to pay their fair tax. They need to pay their fair, they need to pay their freight. And what happened, we found out that the governor for his 2018 taxes, he's the fifth wealthiest man in the state of Illinois. Paid $118,000 in state income taxes. So he claims that, that the fair tax is going to bring in over $3 billion. He is woefully short and he's found ways to be able to avoid paying taxes for a man who's worth close to $4 billion. So he talks about fair share. He hasn't paid his fair share. Yeah. And that is from his own filings. Annie, it's important that people know that the governor believes that the wealthy should pay more, but he doesn't pay more. He has not paid his fair share. He pays $118,000 of state income tax. And if this constitutional amendment passes, it's only going to add $70,000 to his state tax liability if he stays within the same range. And this is a man that's worth, he's the fifth wealthiest man in the state of Illinois. So both Katie Stewart and Monica Briscoe, you know, they have some explaining to do of why they are allowing the governor to twist this message of how this is only going to affect the 1% or less than the 1%. It is going to be pushed on the middle class. But I will tell you this, that they're both Lisa and Amy are wonderful. They're noble individuals, mm-hmm. that truly want to change Illinois. And I will say this, Amy and also Lisa. Those are two less votes for Mike Madigan.
Yeah, completely. I want you to give us a little example of how things work in Springfield and why Katie Stewart's just hand-in-hand partnership with Mike Madigan and Monica Bristow's hand-in-hand partnership with Mike Madigan, how Katie Stewart and Monica Bristow can be permitted to vote against something that maybe Mike Madigan is supporting because they don't need him. When you have a supermajority, it's politically beneficial to let Katie Stewart sit a vote out or to vote against something because then she can go back to her constituents and say she stands for something that obviously she really doesn't stand for. And how much an advocacy from a Republican in that seat would benefit what you as the minority leader, and how wonderful would it be to make you the majority leader, getting those Republicans to replace those Democrats in those seats, how much value that would add to what we can do in Springfield.
Here's what's important. One, both of them, they are bought and paid for by Mike Madigan. It's clear that they are. They both voted for the constitutional amendment to place it on the ballot. So let me just play out a scenario for you. If the amendment, if it does fail in November, and I hope it does, and I'm doing everything I can to have the constitutional amendment fail, there is a chance that if Mike Madigan is able to hold on to his supermajority, that Pritzker and Madigan will place it back on the ballot in 2 years from now. If I'm able to get Lisa and Amy elected, we can stop the constitutional amendment forever being resurrected again in Illinois. That's what's at stake. And I do believe that the tax question is failing, and I believe it will fail. But I'm worried about that Madigan will be able to keep the seats that he has, and he will be able to place it back on the ballot in 2 years.
One other candidate real quick I wanted to mention to you, as you're talking about Amy and Lisa, is also David Fries.
David's fantastic.
That we need to make sure we're talking about his name. I know Amy and Lisa are right in my neighborhood, but David Fries is another huge pick.
David Fries, a little further south, we are feeling very good about his candidacy. David's working very hard, and we, like the other races, we're doing everything we can financially to get him over the finish line. But I will say that the issues that I have experienced down in when I've been in the Metro East, it's been taxes, and mainly the constitutional amendment. And to me, that is the most important issue that we see in the Metro East, but I'm seeing it in the suburbs of Chicago right now. You can't trust the Democrats. And, you know, shame on the Democrats who place it on the ballot. Monica Bristow and Katie Stewart were able and there were votes in favor of it to place it on the ballot. It's the wrong thing. It doesn't reflect the district. It just doesn't reflect those districts down there. And you know what? When we see that Governor Pritzker is not paying his fair share, who is going to pay for it? It's going to be the middle class. They're going to change the rates. And that's just wrong. So let me just say this also, that not only did they vote for the constitutional amendment, but these two voted to give themselves a pay raise in this last budget. They can spin their way out of it as much as they want, but they failed to block the pay raise. And you know what? They say that it's not going to be funded. It is a legal obligation that the state of Illinois is going to have to follow through with. So we've got not only Bristow and Stewart voting for the constitutional amendment, putting it on the ballot, but also we have them voting for their own pay raise.
It's unbelievable. It absolutely is. Real quick before I let you go, you've run a few races in your time, and people are listening right now. We have so many people in the state of Illinois, but we also have friends in Missouri who want to see a better Illinois in the future. What is a $5 donation to one of these campaigns do? What is the decision to use your feet, knock on a door, or to get involved, to connect with their Facebook pages? Like, what kind of action for people who are very passionate about this and have the time, the money, the inclination to be helpful, where do you direct them to give
Direct them to their websites. $5, a dollar goes, we stretch a dollar longer than anyone. in the state of Illinois in any campaign. We're competing and winning in races that we shouldn't be winning in, despite being outspent 5 or 10 to 1. So I will just say this, that if people who live in that region are pleased with Mike Madigan and the work he does, then vote for Monica Bristow and Katie Stewart. If they want to see Mike Madigan gone, not only vote for Lisa Cimpoli and Amy Alec, but go to their websites and make a contribution, large or small. Every dollar is going to count over the next 2 weeks.
It sure is. Thank you so much, Leader Durkin, for the time today. We welcome you here to the Metro East as you come.
I'm looking forward to coming down there again this week. I'll be down there Wednesday and Thursday.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time. We look forward to speaking to you soon.
My pleasure. You bet.
Bye-bye. House Minority Leader Jim Durkin joining us right there. Just a little addendum from where I sit personally, as somebody who is a constituent of Katie Stewart's in the 112th. Did you hear those numbers that he said, the amount of money? Didn't he say $1.3 million Katie Stewart has taken?
$1.3 million.
And like $1.6 that Bristow has taken? Yep. From Mike freaking Madigan. He's buying these seats, folks. And like he said there, a dollar from one of us up against Mike Madigan money may not seem like a lot, but the Republicans are hustling, they're working hard, and they know what to do to get through. I get paid absolutely zero, and also if I did, it would be incredibly inappropriate for me to say these things. This means a lot to me because it matters for my future. Katie Stewart co-sponsored the Reproductive Health Care Act in the state of Illinois that repealed the partial birth abortion ban. That's reprehensible. I don't care how maybe pro-choice you are. Katie Stewart co-sponsored a bill that allowed a baby to be half-born and murdered. That's what she stands for. And she's taken Mike Madigan's money all the way to the bank to get herself reelected. She gets a pay raise for being in there. She voted for that. And it's going to continue. And these ads that I've seen come out, that this really fired me up when I saw my name on ads attacking Lisa Cimpoli. Do not use my name and my words against me, Katie Stewart, and Mike Madigan. And I know Mike Madigan hears us, folks. You are as big of a part of this as I am. Because the Annie Fry Show listeners, you make it important enough for them to monitor what we are doing here, and then they printed it. The best part about this story is that Mike Madigan had to pay to print my name on something. And the only reason why my name is valuable in print on something that he paid for is because of you. It's not me. It's because he's afraid of what you are capable of doing. I challenge you today to look at the people running in these districts. You have to go find their Facebook pages and like that. That's free. You can do that right now. Go find Amy Ellick for Illinois Representative 111. Or Lisa Cimpoli for District 112. Go find their Facebook pages and like them, and then do something for them. You don't have to pay any money to do it. Don't print my name and use words that come from my show against me without thinking I will go toe-to-toe with you until November 3rd, because I will. We'll be back with Dr. Hardiman in just a minute. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for being with us. Just spoke with Illinois House Minority Leader Jim Durkin. It's always fun to see your name pop up on some political mailers that is used completely in twisted, warped context. So we wanted to get him on there and, you know, shout a little bit more support for Lisa Cimpoli in the 112th District to beat Mike Madigan's handpicked Katie Stewart. So if you missed that, go onto radio.com, hit the rewind button. You can listen to that interview. Each Monday, we speak with Dr. Scott Hardiman to get the latest and the most factual nonpartisan COVID conversation. And Dr. Hardiman, an ENT with Gateway ENT, is on with us again. Doctor, thank you. Sorry for the delay here. That was my fault. And glad that you could stick around and have this conversation again with us.
No problem. Happy Monday to you guys.
You as well. Ryan, did you want to kick it off with a question here? You want to start the conversation?
Yeah, well, just overall, Dr. Hardiman, it seems as if we're talking about coronavirus cases quite a bit again, which either means that President Trump is having a good week or coronavirus cases are up. You know, I was just wondering what your perspective was, medically speaking. Are we actually in an upswing here?
It does seem like the overall numbers of cases across the country are up a bit. I think when we focus in kind of on the microcosm here in Missouri, a lot of the areas around St. Louis are actually pretty good. Our case numbers have been very steady or declining. In fact, I think there was one other state that were showing 10% reduction in total numbers of cases or in the overall numbers. But generally speaking, we're kind of seeing a little bit of an uptick in the number of cases. Most in Missouri are in outlying areas. A lot of the patients that are being hospitalized are mobilizing into the metropolitan areas and here in Kansas City. So I think this is not, you know, to be unexpected. We're going to see these ebbs and flows based upon other respiratory illnesses. And as we continue to sort of get out and start to integrate in society a little bit more as well.
We're speaking with Dr. Scott Hardiman. Check out urgentspecialist.com. Great place to get your urgent care in the event that you need it. Vaccines is the big discussion right now. There's certainly political conversation that surrounds this. But my question to you is, what does this vaccine have to go through in order for it to get to the point where nobody in the Midwest like myself could end up getting this? How can I have confidence that the vaccine is a safe vaccine to get and is not just out there and accessible because it's going to score political points for one person or the other?
Sure. I think there's currently multiple vaccines that are in one phase or another of trial, some very early developmental, but there's about five that are in phase 3 studies, which means that they're out being given to healthy volunteers, and then they'll be surveyed over a period of time in an attempt to try and determine, you know, if they have less risk of getting the illness or if they do get it, if it was a milder course of things. The vaccines are not 100% effective every one they get. These major contenders do seem like they induce a fairly significant immune response early on, which is why they've made it in rapid fashion to a rapid time period to the phase 3 trials like that. So, you know, the way to get this all under control is not just simply through a vaccine. It's sort of a myriad of different things, including therapeutics and sort of natural selection in the community, but also through vaccination. And I think time will tell that from a safety perspective and also an efficacy standpoint, whether or not the vaccines can reach that sort of herd immunity to slow down the transmission of this. It's not going to go away. You know, we have seasonal influenza every year. We have other illnesses that kind of come back, RSV. There are many that tend to cycle through during the respiratory months of the year. So this is going to be, you know, added to the list of those. But generally, I would say if we can develop enough of an immunity within our society that you're not seeing rapid transmission, and then heaven forbid, obviously, hitting the older, more infirm population and causing them to be hospitalized or worse, dying.
Question from the Annie Fry Show Facebook page for Dr. Hardiman. Jenny says, Trump is touting immunity to COVID-19, talking about kissing people at his audience. I've had COVID and I don't feel as
leave
confident.
Leave it to him to make it weird.
I don't feel as confident about not getting it again. Looking at the limited information I've seen about it, what do you think? Is there immunity?
I would generally say yes. There's a handful of cases, and literally, I mean, a handful of cases of documented reinfection that are out there. And those are, you know, we don't know exactly the whole story behind all of those, but when in genomic sequences, it seems like there's different viral strains that have been identified in those individuals. But I think largely, hence the reason we're shooting for vaccines as well, is that you can develop an immune response to this. Certainly in the near short term, I would feel pretty confident that you're going to be okay from an immune perspective, that if you were 2, 3, 4, 5 months after the onset and recovery of the illness, that you're going to be in pretty good shape. But I think, like everything else with this, we're learning every day, and I think you have to be, you know, cognizant of any possibility. But having had it before and developing antibodies to it, developing T-cell immunity to it, those are all very positive things. That's the way our immune system works, and I would feel, you know, relatively confident in that regard.
We have a question from Brad on our Annie Fry YouTube page. Are we seeing these upticks in areas that haven't seen outbreaks, or are they in areas that have already had a widespread outbreak?
I think the former. There's, like I said, little ebbs and flows in areas just based upon clusters within metropolitan areas. But as it seemed across the country, the areas that seem to be seeing a swing in cases seem to be places that hadn't really had that exposure before. And it's interesting. I was thinking this morning in reading some articles, but preparing for this, that schools are going to cause transmission, then it's churches are going to cause transmission, and now we've gone to the don't have small family gatherings at Thanksgiving and Christmas. to be honest, I think there's a lot of conjecture out there. I don't know that we all know with 100% certainty exactly what makes these contagious events take place. They're super spreader events, but we've also known families where a husband may get it and us and their wife may not, or kids in the family get it and adults don't. So there's a lot of mystery behind respiratory illnesses. It really boils down to the level of exposure. By and large, I think where it seems to be hitting is in areas that didn't see a big uptick early on.
Doctor, one last question before we let you go here. You know, you talking about what you are reading in the morning to, you know, have these conversations. Just one, I ask you this every once in a while, and I think it's such an important thing for myself to hear, and I'm certain my listeners enjoy this as well. What's the one thing that you want people, if you could scream from the mountaintops and get to every person in this country right now to tell them about COVID, what's the one thing you want them to know the most?
Well, I think there's several things I would have to say, but probably singular would be just try not to be afraid of this. It's very easy with misinformation and with just the overwhelming 24-hour news cycle to always live in fear of something like this. And, you know, we're a pretty robust species. We've got a good immune system, and the vast majority of people that get this thing recover. We just need to continue to help isolate and identify those that are most at risk and protect them while we continue working towards therapeutics. So don't live in fear. Just have a bit of a respect for it. And, you know, we have to carry on with life a bit.
Have you made Thanksgiving plans yet?
Beginning to. Not fully yet.
Are you thinking that there's a way to safely gather for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I think like most families, we'll probably gather as a relatively small family. We have older parents and have to be concerned about that. My level of exposure is probably more than most, just because I'm in the healthcare environment. But to some degree, we all have some exposures. So I think if you lead up towards that Thanksgiving time and you're extra cautious, perhaps if you're going to be getting together in small groups or with older individuals or higher risk individuals, to perhaps maybe isolate a bit more for the 7 to 10, maybe 14 days prior to that. That will help to limit your potential of contracting something that you could pass to someone else. Well, it's going to be probably chilly like most Thanksgivings, but ventilating the environment well is good. And, trying to keep the group sizes relatively small, I think, are all important things to do. And then, of course, follow if you're ill or have any inkling that you have some sort of respiratory illness, you know, don't go. Just stay home, even if it's like, and it's likely to not be COVID, obviously, statistically, but try not to go and potentially expose other people, which is the right thing to do with any respiratory illness, right?
For sure. And we're learning that. I think that's one of the things that's going to come of this. Hopefully the way we handle ourselves being under the weather, hopefully we'll be a little more cautious about that. Dr. Scott Hardiman, thank you so much. Always a pleasure to speak with you and get the information from a medical perspective. We're grateful for you.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You as well. Physician at Gateway ENT and Urgent Specialists, the best in urgent care around, urgentspecialist.com if you want to check them out. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to get an earful from Stephen Moore. I think when we come back, I'm excited about this. I saw an article he tweeted out that said that the president's going to need to be on his best behavior on Thursday. What does that look like? Maybe we've seen his best behavior. I mean, everything's a spectrum, right? Thursday's debate coming up. Katie and Ryan will be joining me again at my house in my basement for some fun and games and debate. And if it goes the way it went last time, I think Katie, Ryan, and I are just going to start shouting at each other instead. Are you guys up for that?
We totally.
Shout only everything. When you're talking.
When I start talking, yeah. They shout at me. You subscribe to the Annie Fry YouTube page. Don't miss a beat. We'll be back in just a minute.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.